Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. In the world of organ transplants, one person could potentially save 8 lives. Each donor has 2 lungs and 2 kidneys, and one each heart, liver, pancreas, and intestine. And when you count non-life-saving organs like the eyes or skin, even more people could be helped by a complete body donation.
Many of us have the orange donor dot on our driver's licenses, but as we'll learn in a moment, that's not quite enough to ensure your wishes are carried out. Milwaukee's Morningstar Productions tackles the subject of donation in its new production of Domino Heart, which opens this weekend at the theater at Esterbrook Church on Green Bay Avenue.
Joining me in the studio this morning are Morningstar's artistic director, Alan Atwood, actor Tirsa Ferraro, and the nursing supervisor for transplant services at St. Luke's, Adam Collio. Collio says that when theater tackles a subject like this, everyone wins.
I think it does bring awareness to people so that they understand the need and the powerful gift that is transplant. So I think when people receive an organ, it's really a second chance at life. That's why we call it such a gift and a donate life. I think the supply and demand that we have for organs for patients waiting for a transplant is at a critical level. More and more people get added to a wait list every day, and more people need an organ. But the amount of organs available for those waiting has remained stagnant. So as more people get added, the amount of organs stays the same and supply and demand goes up. So I think just raising awareness for people to understand that donation is an important thing and that, you know, transplant is an important service that we provide, that I think that's the biggest gift that you guys give with a play like this.
This play is called Domino Heart, and obviously people think of hearts for transplants, but What are some of the other organs that are in most demand?
Kidney, for sure. Kidney transplants are probably the highest volume in the country. I think as well there's a liver transplants, pancreas transplants. You can do intestine. We mentioned skin, tissue, eyes, things of that nature. But probably the 3 main organs are the heart, liver, and kidney that are probably the most prominent.
And one of the other things we were talking about before we turned on the microphone is that it's not enough if you are, you know, on your license to have the donor thing, that that's just the first step.
Correct. So we talked about intent versus consent. So, you know, when you look at your driver's license and you put that orange dot on your license, that's your intent to donate. That does not actually physically give consent for you to donate your organs. So you can either go to the Donate Life website to sign the consent, or you can, you know, at the time of donation, your healthcare power of attorney or next of kin or whomever's deemed that that person would have to consent for your organs to be donated.
Yeah, that was something I didn't know. I thought it was enough to just put that donor sticker on your, it's like, there it
just
is.
Just your intent to donate.
Okay.
Right.
Alan, Morningstar Productions is putting on this play. What was it about the play and its subject matter that drew you?
Well, it's unique. It's just 4 different characters talking about their experience surrounding this event of someone donating, in this case, a heart, and it being transplanted from one character to another and then actually to a third. And obviously in the play, it's used as a, the transplant is used as a metaphor for commonality. It's very character-driven. So it brings out, you know, how each of these 3 people, though they're very different, are also very much the same. And obviously, you know, using that metaphor again of sharing the heart.
And Tirsa, you're acting in this. What is it like to be part of that conversation?
Right. I think it's a really interesting play, and it's a very interesting character and a place to go that is beyond my current experience, but is a more common experience than you'd like to see. My own sister lost her husband in a very hard way, and it was hard for her at that critical moment of donation. Even though he had his donor card, even though maybe they had discussed it, and I don't really know that, but it does bring this issue to light. And for my character, she's dealing with that right away, right off the bat, she's dealing with the 3 days after the funeral and what happened and where it's going and all of the stuff that has to happen to make that heart go to another person and to live in another person and how she deals with that. And so for me, it's just an experience. It's just an experience as an actor. It's a difficult role, and it has a lot of, like we like to call, red meat in it.
It's very chewy. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. You kind of get into it, and mm-hmm. and you're finding, I mean, you're going to real stuff very quickly.
Very fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, Adam, for the nursing staffs, and you're kind of on the front lines of all of this. What are the emotions that go on amongst the medical staff that's watching, you know, people like the character that Tierce is playing, you know, struggle with all of this?
So there's a little bit of a line that we draw in that regard, in that we, as nursing staff that take care of the recipients of these organs, we don't approach the donor families. So there's a specific organ procurement organization that we work with called the Wisconsin Donor Network that's actually based at the Blood Center of Wisconsin on 18th in Wisconsin. So they are the individuals that would approach a family that would get consent for the donation. So we don't have that interaction with donor families. There's some
lines
that
that's
on purpose. That's the ethical lines that we draw, that we wouldn't want to entice somebody or try to convince somebody to donate an organ to give to one of our patients that we know needs it. That would be a little bit of a gray ethical area. So in that regard, we are on the other side of the fence. But the roller coaster that we go through in terms of emotions of dealing with the patients that we care for, we can go from anywhere from, you know, joy and exuberance when patients receive a transplant to, you know, sorrow when they die on the wait list. You know, I think that's the roller coaster that we go through. That's the harsh reality of what we deal with. But, you know, it's just the facts of the job.
And Alan, one of the things that is so powerful to me about this, and one of the reasons I wanted to do this interview, is this merging of art and medicine, the fact that a theatrical piece can have such a powerful impact on people, and maybe even make people think about becoming donors if they haven't. I mean, is that part of the idea of doing this, of this play?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have people from Wisconsin Donor Network there at some of the talkbacks, talking about their experiences, their personal experiences with transplants, and hopefully that will, bring more awareness.
And so what have you learned as you've been directing this play and working on this? Is there something about becoming a donor that you didn't know, that you've learned?
Well, the playwright said when he wrote it, he didn't know much about that whole issue, you know, the medical issue. Obviously, it's a work of art, so it's dealing with it, again, in a metaphorical way. But I think in the play, we learn about the human side of it. I mean, we think of the logistics of transplants and some of the things we've talked about already. But this is more of the human side, the people who are receiving the heart and what it feels like to one of the characters talks about what it feels like to have a heart inside of him that he knows was beating inside of somebody else. And the gratitude that one of the characters is an Anglican priest. The scene takes place in his hospital room with him waiting at 4 o'clock in the morning, him waiting to receive a heart. And his gratitude for the person who's donating that organ to him.
Tiersa, what about you? I mean, did you know, other than your experience with your sister and brother-in-law, has this play taught you anything?
Well, yeah, I think plays always teach us things. I love the fact that this play will incorporate the medical field with the arts. We don't always get that kind of opportunity to have an outreach like that. I think Morning Star does it quite well and often, maybe more often than other theaters. But I've learned quite a bit. I learned something every day, just learning that the intent and consent difference that I just learned just moments ago. But to touch this woman in her emotion, in her emotional life, in her decision-making life, there's so much there to investigate and discover. I don't know specifically. I think she's just, for me, is a character that I can really find out more about how someone deals with the death of their soulmate and how we ignore love and the need for love up until the point of death of somebody who's close to us physically, emotionally, spiritually, maybe. But maybe we ignore how much we can show that love until they're gone. And I guess in that way, it's just a reminder. Maybe instead of a new lesson, it's just a reminder of appreciating and loving those people around us and letting them know while they're here, yep. not after they've passed, and feeling the regret of that.
Yeah. Adam, are you going to come see the show?
I would love to. I have to check the dates and see when they are, but yeah, yeah. I think it would be great.
I wonder, you know, what medical personnel will take from this.
Right, right. Well, obviously, as Alan alluded to, there's some artistic freedom I think that's drawn, and, you know, that's fair. But I think any time we bring up the topic, I think it's going to be great for, you know, transplant in general, just to have awareness that that's something that people need.
Right, and that the little dot isn't enough.
Right, right, right.
right.
Which is something we all learned today.
Right, right.
Yeah. Do we have time for a little taste of the play? Would you be willing to,
sure.
to give us a little something?
Sure.
Set it up. Tell me where we are and what's just sure. happened and what's about to happen.
So my character has two scenes, the immediate aftermath of his passing, and then later in the play, her dealing with that going forward and how she and her daughter are going to go forward in life. This is her coming to grips with that thing we were just talking about, not letting him know how much she loved him and not being able to get through to him in their life together, even though her whole being had been invested in him, but not really realizing that. So she says, "The truth is, there aren't many things worse than being careless with someone's heart. That is unforgivable. It's just that we've become used to it. In 10 years, he hadn't been able to work through it. So you see, maybe the argument was also a factor in the accident. Maybe, I don't know, his lack of concentration, his watery eyes. Maybe the fact, the thing that led me to my affair with that boy so many years ago was the first link in the chain of events that led to Peter's death. Or maybe a deer just crossed the road at the wrong time."
That's from The Domino Heart. Tirsa Ferraro, thank you so much. Adam Calio and Alan Atwood, thank you so much for being here. I look forward to seeing the show.
Thank you for you. Having us.
Morningstar Productions artistic director Alan Atwood directs, and Tirsa Ferraro stars in Domino Heart. Adam Calio is the nursing supervisor for transplant services at St. Luke's Medical Center.
Domino Heart opens this weekend at the theater at Estabrook Church on Green Bay Avenue in Milwaukee, and it runs through early October. You can find out more information about both the show and about organ donation at wuwm.com.